How many of you are gardeners? God bless you. I have never found myself wanting to be one who digs my fingernails into the soil and then trying to get something to grow, because I don't have very good luck in finding anything to grow. You know, my thumbs are very not green. They're very pink, fatty, and unhelpful. And so anybody who can actually find a way to make something grow, I've always been incredibly fascinated. I will kill plants regularly. My mother will give me more plants. I will be on the verge of killing them. She will take them within a few days. She's able to revive them. You know, happy, they're happy little plants. She tries to bring them back up, you know, to me, and I kill them again. So today, when we hear about Mary, who finds herself at the tomb, and she asks, like, could this person here in front of me be a gardener? We find ourselves kind of like just missing this obscure little piece of scripture to be like, Jesus has risen, and indeed the disciples have gone forward in fear, and the women are here, and there's everything going on, including angels and good news before us. And Mary's asking the question, is this gardener? Could this be the gardener? I think this perhaps is one of the most understated, underthought, under-theologicalized parts of scripture that we could ever have for Easter. That Jesus, here in the midst of Mary wondering if he's the gardener, Jesus once again, like so many times in scripture, doesn't actually acknowledge who he is. You know, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Savior? Jesus never seems in any of the Gospels to really claim that. And here once again, Mary thinks, well, this guy, could he be the gardener? And once again, Jesus doesn't reply, acknowledging that as I read the scripture, he is indeed the gardener. Now, let me tell you why I think this. You're going to go home and be like, oh, this Pastor Amanda person, you know, I don't know what her interpretation was of the scriptures this morning. But I'm going to make for you an argument that indeed, Jesus is the gardener, not just for Mary that day, but for the disciples and for each and every one of us. And that the question that you have before you today is, who are you looking for? Or if you're an English teacher, for whom are you looking? Nobody likes those dangling participles, right? Or it's not a participle, it's a preposition. Thank you. For whom are we looking? Who are we looking for? I believe it is Jesus, but he is the gardener. And he is the one who, like God's self, provides fertile ground, offers life, and brings forward goodness and hope into the world. Now, if you've been looking at the Gospel of John, a couple weeks ago we had looked at John, you'll know and remember that John, the writer, has a high Christology, we say. The Gospel writer John thinks Jesus is it, man, all right? And so throughout the writings in this short Gospel of the four Gospels, this is one of the shortest, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is one of the shortest. And in John, what you'll find is this high Christology that no matter what, Jesus has this incredible divinity to him that John, the Gospel writer John, wants to make sure that you see and you notice, okay? Have any of you ever heard of the seven I am sayings? Yeah? If you go back, and this is not a hard assignment because I just told you that the Gospel of John is rather short, okay? If you go back and actually read this particular gospel, you will find these seven I am sayings. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the door to the kingdom. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are seven of these I am sayings that are the pinnacle of what John is trying to say of, yes, indeed, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one. He is the Savior who has come to us. But the little nugget that I think John shows us today in this gospel passage is that indeed, one of the I am sayings that we don't think about of the seven I am is number eight. And that's, I am the gardener. I am the gardener. See, as we look to the Gospel of John and we try and compare it to the rest of the Holy Scriptures, of the Hebrew Scriptures and the Gospels or the Christian Scriptures, there's this attempt by all of the Gospel writers to complement or fulfill the Hebrew Scriptures, that what was projected or foreseen, prophesied, that Christ was the one who came to fulfill those. That is not the Jewish interpretation of their scriptures, but that's how we as Christians read them, is that Jesus was indeed the one to come and fulfill the Hebrew Scriptures. Well, with that, time and time again, from the very beginning of scriptures, in the book of Genesis, again in Numbers, throughout the Psalms, we get this beautiful glimpse of God being a gardener. The very first passages that we have in scripture are God creating the world. What better story of creation could there be than bringing forth the entire world, the universe, the moons, the stars, the sun, and everything, one with God? And then we move into chapter 2 of Genesis, and all of a sudden we're in the Garden of Eden. And there again, God is the one who created the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and the story goes forth of creation time and time again. John, the writer of the gospel, wanted us to be able to see this parallel of Christ being God incarnate. And so taking both the Hebrew scriptures and now his own writings, and we can pretty much assume it was him, because the only ones who were educated were men at the time, that he took and compared them to say, how can I articulate to these new believers in faith that Jesus now is incarnate with that Holy Spirit, with God's full presence, that Jesus, not even just like God, but God, God's self. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am, and I am the gardener too. The gift today that the scripture offers us, that when we look for and see Jesus as the gardener, is that each and every one of us, no matter in the practical realities on whether or not we like and appreciate gardening, we live by gardening, don't we? We live by the fruit of the land. We live by the sun on our skin. We live day in and day out by the beauty of creation around us. And indeed, we are one with the hands of the one that has created us and made us. We are, in fact, part of that amazing garden that God has created for us. And so today, as you think about where Crossroads is as a congregation, there's always the need for us to grow, to reach out, to see the sun again, and find ways into the world that we can spread our vines, we can show our leaves, and allow that beautiful gift of creation to touch us in our own spirits, in our own hearts, the aching that we have for the gardener, for Jesus himself, to touch us and nurture us and be there for us. Friends, as you celebrate Easter today, and we could not have asked for a better day, thank you, dear God, for a gorgeous day when I can talk about gardening in church, that it's not a miserable day. That the hope that we have in the resurrected Christ today is indeed the hope that we have. that out of the muck and mire of life, out of what seems dead at times and will never, never give life. Indeed, the Easter story tells us today that once again, out of surprise comes hope. Out of death comes new life. And indeed, out of darkness comes light. And that is Christ's resurrection for us today. Thanks be to God. Amen.